and like I'm like actually invest so that is there a way for fans to make money on a player? Is there a way? How would that work? Well, there's a company called FinLead out there, and we wanted to find out more. So we reached out and we found the CEO. He is Rob Conley, and right now he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Rob, how are you?
How are you, Rob?
Andy, Dan, thanks for having me. First time in Cleveland. Had a great time last night. Great
really?
City. Tons of Cleveland fans that are just super excited for the playoffs. So I'm really happy to be here with you guys.
I hope you were able to enjoy a fine meal here. We have so many great restaurants across Northeast Ohio, and I hope everyone was nice to you last night because we welcome other people's money. We're good at that here in Cleveland. So, hey, so help me out. So what is FinLead? Because I know you like Emmanuel Classe is like one of your clients, and you know we were kicking this around. Can you just explain it to me?
For sure. Yeah, FinLead is a platform that allows fans to acquire a stake of the potential future earnings of promising athletes, like Emmanuel Classe.
Okay. Explain it, because I'm fascinated by this.
I want to go a little deeper. So there's a hedge fund that's currently doing this the past 10 years,
okay,
where there's multiple players on your team that you don't even know have these deals with hedge funds. And when there's one hedge fund operating in a space, there's no competition. And so we wanted to find a way to give fans the ability to compete to earn these types of investment opportunities, and at the same time giving athletes fair valuations on their potential future earnings.
That's really, really fascinating, man. So Emmanuel Classe was brought up earlier. Of course, there's your Cleveland tie right there as the amazing closer of the Cleveland Guardians. How were you able to land Emmanuel Classe?
It was the craziest story. I met his agent in the Dominican when we were just thinking about FinLead as an idea. And we were scouting a player 2 years later for the Cardinals. And I felt like I needed to go to the All-Star game. And so I went last minute from Chicago, changed my flight to Dallas. And I ended up connecting with Emmanuel Classe's agent again. He was really happy with all the success we had. And it was like, we should really do a deal for Emmanuel. And I was like, there's no way Classe would ever want to do a deal with us. He's like, no. I think he's looking for ways to get more connected with his fans. I think he would do this. So we put the deal together, and last minute, we went to the All-Star game just to have a good time, and we left with Emmanuel Classe on our platform, which was just an amazing experience.
So, but, Rob, if I say you're taking stock in a player, is that essentially what you're doing here, or make it easy for me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a future earning contract with an athlete. So FinLead Funding, our company, has a 3% future earning contract with Emmanuel Classe.
Okay.
And so essentially, we went to the SEC and FINRA, and we created what's called a Regulation CF for that. So fans are able to buy shares and own that future earning contract through FinLead Funding.
Hmm.
And that's how it's – so it's all within the SEC and FINRA's guidelines. This is not like an NFT or a crypto. This is an actual security. And then fans are buying this for, on our through our website and taking ownership. And they get a dividend twice a year based off of what Classe earns each year. And it includes all of his earnings on the field, bonuses, if he wins the Cy Young, if he's an all-star, all of that is included. What makes it also very interesting for an investment perspective is that we believe Classe is the best closer in baseball. I think a lot of your fans would agree with us.
Yeah, we might Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah. Close to the country.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we believe that he's going to get a deal bigger than Hader and bigger than Diaz, and with the average increase of 4% of average salaries for closers, we believe when he's a free agent, that should be hopefully around $25 million a year is what the best closer in baseball is going to command for a contract. So we're hoping Cleveland signs him to a long-term deal, and then all the fans are going to be able to celebrate with Emmanuel for investing in his potential future earnings through FinLead.
Rob Connolly of FinLead joining us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Rob, the CEO of this, Emmanuel Classe, one of the clients of FinLead. You can check it out online at finlead.com if you want a lot more information on this whole thing. So what you're saying is basically, can fans buy? So you could buy and sell stock as well, correct? Can you sell, or is it just like a buy type of thing?
So with the regulation CF, the SEC states, fans have to hold their shares for a full 12-month period. And then at the end of the 12-month period, they're able to then sell those shares. We are currently working on building a secondary marketplace, which will then allow fans to buy and sell on FinLeak.com to other fans that want to buy.
But you got to hold for a year, right? That's what
interesting.
One year. That's the rules for the SEC.
All right. So I'm still trying to like equate this to stocks. So fans can make money. So you're basically you're kind of playing what their next contract is, and that's how the fans make money.
Yeah. So it starts next year. Next year, this season, fans will be getting a dividend from Class A twice a year, once at the All-Star break. And then once 3 weeks after the World Series, that way all the bonuses for the end of the year come in. And then we pay out directly through the broker-dealer that we partnered with, and fans get a direct deposit directly into their account. Hmm. And the contract's for 25 years, so it's his entire career.
Rob, when people come up to you and say, well, okay, what's this? Do they look at you like you're crazy, or like, is this legit?
Yeah, 100% legit. Yeah. I mean, it's all regulated through the SEC and FINRA. You can go to the SEC's website, do an Edgar search, and you can see the Class A offering. Everything we've done is by the book. We've hired security attorneys to make this work. And we have, like, Comcast NBC as an investor. So everything we do is got to, you know, we always have to cross our T's and dot our I's and make sure that, you know, all the rules are being met. So.
So this may sound very rudimentary, Rob, and I apologize, but like, how does this end up helping the athletes throughout this entire thing of being able to invest in them?
Yeah, so for the athlete side of it, there's two sides. One, they get an upfront cash payment, like an insurance policy, that they're able to then, you know, reallocate. They can invest. They can help their family out. They can do whatever they want. It's an upfront payment to them, so it's kind of like an insurance policy. And then for Class A, his biggest motivation was, hey, I can actually like really have a great like connection with all these fans that support me from the Dominican, from Cleveland, from all over the world, can support me and share in my journey and have the ultimate fan club. That's kind of the way we like to put it. It's like, you know, being a part of something so unique that, you know, you're really involved with the athlete. And, I mean, can you just imagine like how exciting it's going to be when, you know, the fans that do buy shares get that, you know, alert. Class A signs with Cleveland on a 6-year deal for $20 million, and everyone together is celebrating that. To us, that's what makes it so cool.
I'm just curious, what's the reaction from the teams and from the and by the way, what about Major League Baseball Players Association? But I would think they would be down with this for sure because it gives the athlete a chance to make a little more money.
Yeah, so the Players Association is great. We have a really good relationship with them. We met with them at the All-Star break. They kind of have more of a neutral approach with this. Like they don't love it. They don't hate it. You know, they can't stop it. They can't control a player from, you know, doing a personal financial deal. But, you know, baseball, we haven't really had much of a conversation or dialogue there. But from the teams, I think they want what's best for the players. I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. And at the athletes feel like this is the best thing for them, that's all that matters.
All right, so right now, if you want, like the guy you can get here in Cleveland right now is Class A, and might be more guys down the road. And go ahead.
Yeah, we've already done one athlete, Shedrie Vargas with the Rangers. He's a really great prospect. We have two more athletes signed. One of them is just part of the trade with the Yankees. Drawing a blank on the guy's name. Anyways, but yeah, so we have two other prospects signed. And yeah, we're looking forward to making those announcements very soon.
All right. So if fans want to
start, Jack Chisholm trade.
If fans want to invest in their play, FinLeet is where they want to go, right? FINLETE.com. That's the place to go.
That's correct. Yep. FinLeet.com.
All right. Well, Rob, good luck, man. It's totally interesting and I'm hooked.
It's fascinating, man.
I want to see what happens with this thing and I good luck and I wish you guys the best. And of course, we're always wishing Emmanuel the best.
Hey, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you guys soon.
All right, have a good trip while you're here. All right, Rob, thank you. Rob Conley coming. It just seems so unique, right? It's like it's different where you get the opportunity to invest in a player. So that's what we're talking about. Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up next right here, 92.3 The Fan. I know your thoughts.
For David Njoku to come out and play, that maybe this would be a boost for this Browns offense, but well, he's out, and we're still back to the two tackles being out. You know, now Wyatt Teller on IR on top of that one, which means that three out of the five positions on the offensive line are going to be backups, third string, and heck, fourth string, which is not exactly what you're looking for. especially even if and hey, Max Crosby hasn't practiced all week. So who knows what that's going to look like. If we get any information whatsoever when it comes to Max Crosby, we will let you know. But boy, without those two, and even if it's a hobbled Max Crosby, that is concerning. So just to get everybody up to speed, if you are hopping in and joining us now, the Friday Injury Report brought to you by Slater and Zurs. Experience you need, results you want. Visit SlaterZurs.com to get your free consultation. Jedrick Wills out for this game. Jack Conklin out for this game. Tight end David Njoku out for this game. Pierre Strong out for this game.
All right, fun. So let's try to figure out who you're, what you're doing. Dwight Jones is apparently okay to play. We'll find out a little bit more, I would think. I don't know. We'll find out. Zach Zinter, you know, moves himself into a spot.
Into right guard. He played well last week. We'll see if that he'll fill in for Wyatt Teller from there. We'll see what it looks like.
I don't know. If I was the other team, I would just try to exploit the rookies left and right.
I mean, that's why you got Christian Wilkins. I mean, that's why you paid the guy, and that's why everybody on the Browns wanted him to begin with.
I was kind of hoping they were going to try to bring in more offensive linemen, but...
But the problem is, man, where do you look? Like,
they also have...
If we do that, look, and we made fun of you, so we have to make fun of Jeff on top of that.
Right.
If we went and put together the Jeff Phelps clunker list of offensive linemen, right? You know, right. Jeff's notorious for throwing these lists together.
You know, you could make a trade if somebody had an extra one. I mean, I'm just saying.
But, I mean, you get a call.
And then you're asking him to instantly be good.
Right. But who would you call? I mean, we've come to learn.
I don't know. Who's got extra offensive linemen sitting around? Oh, we got too many offensive linemen. Yeah,
exactly.
No one's saying that. Yeah.
No one is ever saying that, which is one of the biggest bummers that come from it. Because you're right. It would be perfect to be able to go make that kind of call and make that trade. That trade doesn't exist, though. There's nobody that's out there that's like, you know what? I just have way too many offensive linemen. Like, it just doesn't exist. So, like, if you're putting the cash for clunkers list together for, you know, the Jeff Phelps clunker list, David Bakhtiari is probably 1-1 on that list.
Mm-hmm.
David Bakhtiari's knee, sadly, is held together with duct tape, chewing gum, and twine. Like, he has had so many surgeries on that knee, it's ridiculous. There is a reason why the Jets have not signed him yet. He's one of Aaron Rodgers' best friends, and he's not on the Jets. There has to be a reason for it. Jason Peters is like 42, and he is completely cooked. That is out there. I'm trying to think of other offensive linemen who are tackles who are out in free right now that you would even have somewhat interest in, and it's just not pretty. Like, it's not a place you want to be. If you're a viable offensive lineman that could contribute to a team, you're probably on a roster.
I agree. I don't know where it's not. Offensive linemen don't grow on trees. That's for sure. I mean, every once in a while you can find somebody who's a like a wide receiver or running back, especially. You can find someone who's, you know, kind of sitting on the couch and you'll be able to bring him in. But at this point, I don't know how you fix this. And are you hoping that Ifedi is going to be able to do anything this week? I mean, the problem I have with him is that when they said, we're not going to throw Deshaun in the Seattle preseason game, and that there were worries about him playing left tackle in a preseason game, and now you might have to use him in a regular season game with Deshaun. Like, I don't know how you have confidence in that. I don't see any of it.
It's not good. I mean, this is the offensive line was the strength of this team coming into the season. We thought they had depth. They kept 10 offensive linemen or something like that on the final 53-man roster.
Yeah.
We thought there was a boatload of depth here. We thought that this whole offense would begin with the offensive linemen. The line has been porous. Okay? It's been bad. And so now you've got injuries on top of bad, which is only showing more of it. Like,
so here's my other question. So now
DJ Humphreys do anything for you? Like, no.
Are you moving Joel over to left tackle and then putting James Hudson on the other side? Or are you moving? Well, you've got DeJuan Jones.
Well, you got DeJuan Jones, right?
So maybe. I hope with you. He's not even healthy. Like, he's not playing anywhere near where he played last year.
I mean, the offense looked the best going up against the Giants. When it was Joel Bitonio, Nick Harris, Ethan Posick, Nick Harris, Zach Zinter.
Harris played center.
Right.
Right, and then you kind of move the line over. So
right.
You move Bitonio over to left tackle. You move Posick over to left guard.
Right.
Isn't that what they did? And then they took Nick Harris, made him the center.
Right.
Then you had Zinter and then Jones.
And then Jones on the other side. That's when it
like I don't remember ever saying in the prior to last week, oh, let's put Joel Bitonio over at left tackle.
No, that was a solution that a lot of fans have thrown out for a long period of time, and Joel Bitonio has been the number one person saying, like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not built to do this. Like, yes, I did it in college, and yes, I made it work in a pinch, but like, boy, this is not a way we want to live life. And especially a 32-year-old Joel Bitonio on top of that one, who I think even he might say it is not exactly having the best season.
No, so could you move DeJuan Jones over to left tackle and then move Bitonio over to right tackle? You're not going to do that.
No, you'd rather move.
You want to keep him on the same side.
Initially, yeah. The fact that they've done it initially tells you that they feel more comfortable with Bitonio at left tackle.
And then what else? They're sitting with another rookie, Javion Cohen.
Sure.
Who's another guy that can back up. Fetty's is a back. I mean, it is slim pickings on that offensive line. Let's sneak in a phone call. Robert's in Brecksville. Hey, Robert.
How are you, Robert?
Well, I have an answer for you on the amount of Browns fans walking through Hopkins Airport right now because I just got off my flight from Oakland.
Oh, you okay? So you were in – wait a minute. You went to Oakland. Did you go to the game?
Called in yesterday. He went to the game yesterday for the closing of the Coliseum. It was very cool.
First start with that. How was that?
It was very emotional. I went not as an A's fan, but as like, you know, as part of baseball history, because even though I was alive and sentient when the Browns left, I was like 4 or 5 years old. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know anything about football. So I want to come in and take the atmosphere in of, even though it was only temporary, of a team, a city losing its team due to whatever political nonsense is going on. But I mean, it was definitely very emotional. I mean, it has nothing to do with red versus blue or brown and orange versus white or black and yellow. This is history. It's culture. It's nostalgia. It's time. It's memory. You can never get back. So
take me forward now. Yeah. Get me to this to the next part of the story. The Browns. So you're at the airport in Oakland, or you just got to Vegas?
No. I'm in Hopkins right now. I landed. Oh. I stuck around because I was listening on the plane. Heard you talking about how many Browns fans are walking around the airport right now.
Oh, so yes.
I just walked the airport.
Gotcha.
During the last night segment. There are Browns fans here. I've seen some brown and orange. I talked to one couple that, you know, were flying to Vegas. The couple of the direct flights don't leave for another 3 or 4 hours, so it's not too crowded yet. Either later tonight or for Saturday, you're going to see a lot more. But there are some here right now that are flying to Vegas.
All right, so you're going up and talking to people. Excellent job. You're doing a very good job as our on-site reporter.
Man on the street.
Rob, yeah, you are the man on the street for Baskin and Phelps right now. So good.
Yeah, one more thing. Puba's there right now, right? Because I got some stuff from Vegas, from the game. I want to give to him some historical pieces.
I am unaware of any situation because we are locked in our room. You know, that's how we do.
I'm sure he's there. I'm sure he's listening. I'll stop by later.
No idea. Okay, thank you, Robert. Appreciate it. Is it your day to watch him or not?
Huh? For Puba?
Yeah.
Oh no, that's Junior Puba. He's.
Oh, you know, Junior Puba is in charge of...
Oh, most stuff.
I didn't realize that.
That's how it works.
All right.
It's more like a handler. You know, Puba's got a lot of things to do. He needs a handler.
Does he have to walk around with a championship belt? Now, that would be cool.
That was always...
Look out, Puba coming through!
That was always one of the wrestling gimmicks that would forever make me laugh, was you would get the picture of the guy holding the title belt, and they had to have it on them, and they would walk through the airport with the title belt.
I can't remember who it was, and I can't remember...
So funny.
Trying to remember what they had won. Somebody in Columbus had won a championship, and I remember because I was kind of young, and we were down like in the short north. I remember being out with probably somebody else who's still here, who's working here in town right now. And I remember being at one of the bars down there, and all of a sudden I looked up, and there's a guy, and his job is just to hold up the belt and walk behind. And I
that's awesome.
I don't think I'm not outing Jay Crawford on that. But then Jay and I were out in the short north after one of our shows in Columbus. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I was like, what the?
Was it a professional wrestler or a boxer?
No, it was a boxer, and I can't remember who it was. But he was walking around, and like he had a guy, and the guy was like a hype man behind him, and he was holding the belt up. And
so funny.
What is this guy doing? Like, that's your job?
Oh, the boxer entourage is legendary.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like a job. Your job is to walk behind said champion.
Yeah.
With a belt?
Well, and then you got to have somebody else who walks in the room and announces that the champ is here.
Oh,
you
know, I can do that.
That's the other one, too. Oh, the boxer entourage is the all-time of entourages.
Why don't we do that? Can we do that? Anybody need that? I'm available on the weekends to do that. I'm going to come in. I'll walk in. And ladies and gentlemen, the pride of Parma, Bobby Smith,
the champ, is here
in the house.
It would be great. I I'd love to make an intro like that. I would love to do that once. Like there are two intros that I want. One of them would be that one, and the other one is I've always wanted the James Brown intro. Like I've always wanted somebody to come out beforehand and give me like 700 nicknames and then get the crowd absolutely hyped and do, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. James Brown. Like the way that they used to do it before, like at the Apollo, if you've ever listened to Live at the Apollo or any other James Brown concert. It's unbelievable the intro that James Brown would get. That intro I would love.
This might be a ding moment here, but like I had a I love Cleveland moment this morning.
Okay.
As I stopped in one of the coffee places here on the way in, and I look, and there's a guy with a baseball hat on, and I'm like, wait a minute. And then I'm like, oh, it's the mayor. And he was just totally just waiting for a cup of coffee, just like all of us. And I was just like, you know, only in a town like Cleveland would no one go up and bug the mayor while he's waiting for, except for me, because I went up and said hi. So
high is one thing. Saying here are the 18 things that you have done poorly that I would like to voice to you.
No, it was just one of those reasons why I love Cleveland. You know, I don't know why I'm sitting here and I'm like, yeah, I'm standing next to the mayor. You know, I was like, if we were in like New York or something like that, do you think that's happening?
Probably not.
No, I don't think so. And then they'd have to have a giant entourage too.
Well, if you're in New York, it's probably the, you know, here are my 18 complaints and grievances. And they begin with the rats and work their way up from there.
Yeah, no, I looked over there.
Especially now that you got a rats are. Now you really got somebody you can yell at in New York City.
I thought it was kind of cool. He could just go in there and get a cup of coffee. No one's bothering him and like no one cared. Yeah. Right? I don't know. I think that's what makes the city unique and it's great. And I think that's a lot of reasons why you see like actors and stuff when they come into town and they do stuff. Like everyone will be like, hey, how are you? And that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't make a big deal.
The occasional photo, that kind of stuff, but it's not like insane.
Yeah, like when they were making a movie.
McConaughey said nothing but really nice things about around here.
Oh, that was what I was told too, that like there's a restaurant in town that he would go to frequently, and like he would even come back into town to go to that restaurant.
Oh gosh, when they shot Superman, James Gunn put that really nice
Cleveland kind of stuff.
Yeah, you guys were great.
Yeah, I don't know. Pat yourself on the back, Cleveland. You earned it.
You got that going for you.
It's a good job. All right, now let's go back to the Browns here for a second because I'm concerned. And, you know, if you're this light on the offensive line, can you really have – like, I can't walk into one of these games and have, like, gigantic expectations. Like, I need them to survive offensively. That's what I'm looking for. And because the other thing is we started the show and we were hoping that David Njoku could play. Now we know he's out for Sunday's game. Out.
Well, how do you
– Pierre Strong, out.
This is going to be – I'm taking this from conversations I have had with on the air with John Greco, where I've learned a whole lot about offensive line stuff just by talking with John Greco, who is former Browns offensive lineman, A-plus human being on top of it. He would always tell you that the best thing you could do for your offensive line is run the ball. No matter how banged up they are, no matter any of those things, run the ball. Mm. Run the ball, run the ball. I wonder if we are going to see a different game plan going into this week, because how do you slow down a pass rush? You run the ball. How do you save your offensive linemen? You run the ball.
How do you beat the Giants last week? Oh.
Nah.
Too soon?
So I partially wonder if maybe you're seeing, or at least hoping, you're going to take the playbook and basically go, all right, let's keep this for a rainy day. Let's just run the hell out of the ball. Let's just turn around and hand it to Jerome Ford and hand it to Deontay Foreman, and let's just run the ball, and we'll work play action off of it. Maybe take what we have done of late, maybe take a lot of the spread concepts, all of that kind of stuff that we've seen more and more of in this offense, and maybe put those on ice or at least minimize them and just run the ball.
All right, what are you expecting from Deshaun Watson on Sunday? That's my other question. Now that you know that your two tackles are out again, they're going to have to figure this thing out with scotch tape and rubber bands on the offensive line. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Brian Anderson joins us at high noon. I feel like they're going to have home field advantage in some ways in this. Because, you know, Vegas is so kind of neutral. You know, you got there are hardcore Raider fans. Like, you know, we talk about Oakland closing for the A's. And
L.A. too. There's a little bit of L.A. Raider fans in there as well. And that's not a bad flight.
They got about 10 teams over there. So what's the difference?
L.A. to Vegas is a puddle jumper.
Yeah, that's essentially true. That's a good point. But anyway, I can't wait to hear what our crowd sounds like in Vegas, because I think it's going to be pretty good.
All right. So you bring up can't wait to hear something. I got to hear about this. So yesterday was the day.
D-Day?
No, the. D-Day. The,
okay,
D-H-E.
I'm sorry.
D-H-E. Yes. Yes. No, nay. Yes. Nay, nay. Where you walked up to the stage that you did this on the first time.
That is true. I had a kazoo the last time.
And then proceeded to influence the masses as you found your way into the Heights High Hall of Fame.
It's very exciting. I know I can feel all your love just oozing through the airwaves right now.
All right, so seeing as though a lot of us who are listening, including myself, will probably never find their way into a high school Hall of Fame, how was it? How did it go? It's a hell of an honor. You should be proud of yourself.
It's really cool. I mean, I just like, you know, my dad went there, my brother, my sister, my sister-in-law, my aunt. Like, we had so many people that have gone through Heights. And then just not only that, but like all the people I went to school with, and, you know, I just have great memories. I still like the majority of my close friends are guys I went to high school with. Like, you know, it's you can go 6 months without talking to them or 6 years without talking to them. And then 2 seconds later, you know, it's right back where you were, you know, 6 months ago.
Yeah, the best kind of friends you have in your life.
Yeah, you just don't even think about
it. Pick right up right where you left off.
So I don't know. It was weird because it was like the theme of the whole night was, you know, there are these 9 other folks that got inducted too. And it was really neat because everybody talked about their, like, no one really talked about what they were doing now. And they did these fantastic videos about, like, why they're probably in. And, you know, for me, it was, I mean, obviously I'm lucky. I'm an idiot behind a microphone, and I've been for, you know, 30 years here. And so a couple of people can hear me every once in a while, and they listen to what we have to say. But, you know, more than that, it's, you know, I think my relationship with the Special Wish, it's my relationship with Life Bank. It's obviously my relationship with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. You know, all those things that I do when I walk out of the door of this room and I'm not thinking about sports or doing something else. I'm like, let's do something for the community. And, you know, Ahmad Crump was in. He got in yesterday, and it was just, he was like super emotional when he got up to the podium.
That's very cool.
You know, he starts crying. He's like, can you guys just help me out? And he had the entire crowd go, Cleveland! And it was really neat. But there were just, like, the whole group was just fantastic. Robert Braylock was another guy that got in. He was class of 27. I was talking with him last night. Vanessa Mayer, who's a doctor here in town. Steve Potash. Dr. Benjamin Piper, man, this guy is like the smartest human being I think I've ever, like, multiple degrees from Harvard, and cool. He's living in Africa right now. And
that's,
he's
so cool.
He's working with the Gates Foundation. Randy Hipshman is another guy that was down there that set up this baseball league down in Florida for, you know, disabled kids. And
that's
like
killer.
Just kind of, and then there was a rabbi in there. That's really Sharon cool. Henry,
really, really cool.
Danny Merritt was another one, and then Neil Smith. Man, we had a Grammy Award winner in this class, and then Steve Potash. I don't know. Anytime you drive by Overdrive, right off there, like, they are like worldwide, just this massive company around Northeast Ohio. But the biggest thing for me was the kid that introduced me, and it just chokes me up because I think about working with his dad. So I don't know if anybody remembers Brian McIntyre, who worked for a long time at Channel 5, and he was at ONN too. And I think that's where I first kind of met him. He, you know, he was taken from us way too soon. He's been gone 12 years right now. Wow. So I get a call last week from the kid who, like, there were 10 people up there that could, 10 kids that introduce you when you come up. And I get a call from Gavin, and this kid Gavin, and I'm like, and he's like asking me questions, and where he's trying to figure out how to do my introduction, and he's like, oh, my dad used to work in local TV too. And I was like, really, what's your last name? And he goes, McIntyre. And I was just like, wow. And so it was just
wow.
It's on Facebook, or it's on YouTube too if you want to go out and watch it. But it's this like fascinating,
oh, we will.
Surreal,
we'll find drops out of it that we can use out of context.
Fine. But it was just this surreal moment where, you know, I knew his father, and like Brian was, you know, I got to be honest, the broadcast news world is just, in a lot of ways, it's the most uplifting thing you can do, but in a lot of ways, it's garbage, and there are a lot of bad people in it. It's not bad. It's just like, the thing that bothered me the most is, I think I went through my career doing local news, was just how in the beginning, it just seemed like a lot of people that wanted to tell good stories and get vested in what they were saying on the air. By the time I was done, it was about, oh my God, I got to do my makeup and get on Facebook Live so I can look good. And by the way, there's a major story going on down the street, but I'm not leaving the building to go find out what's going on. I'll just read what people are tweeting. Like, the whole investment in journalism has gone sideways. And so, you know, there are a lot of, like, I don't want to say it's lazy, but it's lazy. So, but Brian McIntyre is like the exact opposite of that. Like,
that's cool.
guy that walked in the room and lit up the room and just was, he was awesome to work with, always in a good mood, always smiling. And then, man, he was just taken from us way too young. And then, you know, you're having this conversation with his kid, and he's like, that's my dad. And I ran it, you know, I was talking to his mom, Megan. And so to me, the whole day was just this whole kind of complete circle. And just this bond now that I have with Gavin that I'll have for a lifetime now.
That's really cool. Well,
so I was really excited.
Congratulations,
about that.
Congratulations, man. That's seriously, congratulations.
I did get the chance to drop a Heights High in the middle of it, too.
Oh, yeah. We'll get there.
So what did you guys do to me yesterday? Because there was a morning event. And by the way, I talked to like 15 classes at Heights yesterday.
Oh,
like, so there's so many brilliant kids at that school.
Sit down, children. Let me educate you.
That is, no, it didn't go that way. They asked a ton of questions.
Let me enrich your lives.
Are you done?
Basically that. that's basically what we did.
That is. Oh, that's what you guys did. Okay.
Basically, that's what
I thought
did.
You were saying that's what I did yesterday.
No. That's what we did to you.
I'm sure. So here's the deal. So we have a dinner last night, and so I'm sitting at the table, and yeah, the other really, really like cool thing about this was, and I'm sure that everybody, like, there was a teacher that probably motivated everybody that went to any school, and so, you know, I think back to, you know, what motivated me when I was in school, and I had a English teacher, Sylvia Stewart. She was Miss Sylvia Stewart. That was her name. And she, like, we had homeroom back in the day. Those folks that are old enough to remember, you didn't have homeroom, did you?
We had a homeroom, but it wasn't like a daily class in high school.
Yeah, we had to go in there. So she was our homeroom teacher. But, man, she pushed the you-know-what out of me when I was in her classes. Because she thought I had, a creative mind. And to be able to put that on paper and become a better writer, she was one that pushed me. Like, pushed me to the point where to try to be who I am and as goofy as I am, but to be able to express myself in different ways. And so when I walked in yesterday and, you know, I was with my family and I had some friends that were there in the morning, and then all of a sudden she was sitting there and I was just like, oh my God, you made it. So Sylvie Stewart Lumpkin,
awesome.
I still call her Miss Stewart, but then she came to the dinner with us last night and it was just, it was fantastic. Everything was really cool. And I can't tell, you know, I can't say enough to the Heights Foundation and a group called the Image Makers. And thank you. I appreciate it.
Congratulations. Honestly, 100% honesty. Congratulations.
But as Phil Dawson said last week at the Browns Legends, this is not a me thing. This is a we thing. And, you know, if anything, you know, you're listening to me ramble for like 10 minutes here. Just take 2 minutes to find a teacher that helped you somewhere along the way and just drop them an email and say thank you. Because that to me, that was as important as anything, because there was this common theme where everybody kept talking about the teachers they had. And you spend so much time with them throughout the day and how they affect you. So I don't know, if one person writes one email to one teacher that thanked them in a job that's thankless and doesn't make anywhere near what it should, do that, because you can make an educator's day today.
All right. So we had something happen yesterday. You were talking about the media, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It kind of seemed to blow up a little bit.
Okay, what happened?
So help me out here, because you have a lot more experience and all that stuff than I do. And I mean that complimentary. That's not meant to be anything more.
I am a Hall of Famer now.
You are a Hall of Famer. That's right. So Amari Cooper went up to the podium.
Okay.
And the big conversation has been this week about, it. Oh, you people screenshot things on Twitter. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what's happening in these rooms. You don't understand these films.
Talking about fans or media?
Media.
Oh.
So Amari Cooper said this yesterday. Help me out with this.
Okay.
Is this something we should be offended by? Is this something we should be mad about? I'm going to play it for you. You decide.
So I saw this. I was watching. Daryl had this up. You know, when he initially said that, I was like, I kind of understand what he's saying. I get it. I don't think there's anything wrong with questioning the media. I'll never say anything. I mean, look, we are far from perfect.
We are not infallible.
And people make mistakes all the time. I think in the beginning he was trying to say, hey, look, you know, this is, I'm going to try to equate it to your world, but, you know, the scrutiny we're under right now. The problem is when you decide to accept the fame, fortune, and glory of being a professional athlete, you know what comes along with that, and you're going to be criticized. I always laugh when I think of history of the world, and they, you know, they have the first artist, and then they have the first art critic, right?
Good point.
And that, as funny as that is, that's real. So if you want to be a professional athlete, you're saying, well, I want to be on TV. I want to, because let's face it, TV's paying a ton of the money that you're making right now. That's where a lot of it's coming from. But you also want the fans to like you. So there's a couple different roads here. I don't have any problem with what Amari said. Let me be first and foremost on that. But I do think that when you sign that contract, you understand what's going along with that. And guess what? If you drop a couple passes, part of that is history of the world and the first art critic. Because you're going to get scrutinized. It's a part of the deal. Same as me. I'll be, you know, he wants to do that. I'll say the same thing. Hey, if I say something stupid on the air and you call me out on it, okay, I earned it. And guess what? I'm going to sit here and take it 95% of the time because I knew that when I signed up and told Poobah I wanted to be on this station. So I think when you're a professional football player, you better find yourself understanding that some of the things that normal people get to live through and don't have to have that kind of public scrutiny, you gave that up and you get to cash that check every couple weeks. I'm not saying that it's always right either, because I'll tell you, the media is wrong a lot of times. That's where we're at on that. All right, let's come back. We're going to talk to Brian Anderson. He'll understand that. He'll know everything we're talking about. So we're talking about him, about not only Major League Baseball, which is what he's doing right now as a color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays, but we're also going to get into the Browns with him as well. So Brian Anderson, BA, super friend of the show, next right here at Baskin and Fo-